Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, April 17th, and glad you're tuned in and listening today. Well, today is the birthday of Sister Dorothy Williamson. Brother Herbert had a birthday yesterday, and Zachary as well. Now, Sister Dorothy having a birthday today. Want to wish her a happy birthday and hope she is blessed of the Lord on her special day. Amen. Also, tomorrow will be my birthday, and so hope you'll remember me in prayer on my birthday tomorrow as well. Well, I hope you have a great weekend, as we got the weekend coming up, and I hope you will tune in and listen to our live services. If you're not able to go to the house of God and be faithful to your place of worship, I hope that you will tune in and listen at 10:15 for Sunday school and 11:05 for preaching time, and then 6:30 p.m. for the p.m. service as well. Before I go to the message for today, I've got two songs by the Shepherd family. First of all, I've got my wife's favorite song that we sang. This is all of us singing together, and the children were small or young. And then I've got one when the children are a little bit older. It's just the children singing together, a song entitled Better Farther On. This first one's with the instruments, and all of us singing together, a song entitled At the Crossing. My Bible reading for today is a somewhat lengthy portion from Luke chapter number 24. Verse number 1 is where we'll begin our reading. Read down through verse number 12. So Luke chapter number 24, verse number 1, the Bible says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Praise God. I got to say that right there. Praise God. I'm glad the stone was rolled away. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entering in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I want you to notice verse number 6, the words of the angel. He is not here, but is risen. I want to take this text today and preach a sermon going along with what we've preached already this week on the resurrection of Christ. I'm going to speak today on the fact of the resurrection. You see, I've said it over and over again that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the great foundation stones of the Christian religion. Amen. Our text that I read to you contains unanswerable proof that Jesus not only died, but rose again. In other words, there's no argument. There's no way that you can go around that. The scripture says Jesus got up from the grave. Notice our text. We see here the reality of Christ's resurrection. We read in verse number 1 that it was upon the first day of the week. We find that certain women came to the sepulchre in which the body of Jesus had been laid. They came there for the purpose to anoint the dead body. But when they came to the place, the Bible says in verses 2 and 3, they found the stone rolled away, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This simple fact is the starting point in the history of the resurrection of Christ. Our Lord had died 3 days before this. His body had laid safe in the tomb for those 3 days and three nights. And then on Sunday morning, when these ladies came to anoint the body of Christ, they found his body gone. The question was, who had taken him away? Who had removed his body? Surely not the priests and the scribes. Surely not the enemies of Christ. Why would they take the body of Christ? If they had taken the body of Christ, then they would have produced it when somebody said that he had risen from the dead. They would gladly have shown that he did not rise from the dead. No, wasn't the enemies of Christ. Neither was it the apostles or the disciples of our Lord. Matter of fact, when they come and find the tomb empty, they themselves are quite in a quandary. They're frightened and dispirited. They don't know where to go and what to do. The only explanation that I can see is what we find right here in the text, and that is that Jesus got up from the grave. Amen. Now, God left these two angels there to supply a testimony to these ladies. Thank God he did. Amen. Verse number 6, they let them know that he is not here, but is risen from the dead. Amen. They asked them, really, why are you seeking the living among the dead? In verse number 5, amen. Jesus had risen again, just like he said, and was soon to be seen alive, conversing in the body to many of these credible witnesses. Now, the fact of our Lord's resurrection rests on the evidence, enough evidence, by the way, that no infidel can ever explain away. It's confirmed by testimony of every kind, every sort, and every description. The plain, unvarnished story that the gospel writers give us is one that cannot be overthrown. We hear it from Matthew, and again from Mark, and again from Luke, and again from John. Testimony after testimony after testimony. Eyewitness account after another, one after another. Amen. The more that the account is examined, the more inexplicable the evidence appears. No way to explain it away. All we can do is accept it as fact and true. Now, you can choose to deny the truth, and many have. You can deny anything. You can deny everything in the world. Some people even deny the fact that the world exists, that we are even a reality. Amen. I remember hearing a story just recently that a young man asked a professor, and he said to him, how do we know that anything is real? How do I even know that I exist? And the professor asked the question. He said, whom may I say is asking? The point he was making was, if you can ask the question, you've got to be there. Amen. There's got to be a reality. But some people, they deny even reality. Well, I'm telling you, it's true that Jesus lives. Or matter of fact, more certain than that Julius Caesar ever lived is that Jesus Christ lived. More certain than that George Washington ever lived is that Jesus lives. More certain than that Abraham Lincoln ever lived is that Jesus lived. More certain than that you or I have ever lived is that Jesus lives and rose again. Listen, friend, we ought to cling firmly to the resurrection of Christ as one of the pillars of the gospel. Amen. This fact ought to produce in our mind a settled conviction of the truth of Christianity. Our faith depends on the Bible, on the scriptures, but it depends on more than just the fact we've got a set of texts and doctrines. Oh, our faith is founded on a mighty fact that the skeptic has never been able to overturn. Amen. We ought to rest assured of the certainty of the resurrection of our own bodies after death because our Master rose from the grave. We need not doubt that our Lord rose from the dead, and therefore his disciples shall rise again at the last day. Amen. It ought to fill our hearts with a joyful sense of the fullness of gospel salvation. Romans chapter number 8, verse 34 asks this question, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Amen. Listen, if Jesus went to death for you and I, if Jesus was locked in that cold tomb for 3 days and three nights for you and I, and then came forth triumphantly, He did that after atoning for our sins. The payment has been made and the payment has been accepted. The work of satisfaction has been completely accomplished. Amen. It is no wonder that Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. That's 1 Peter 1:3. We have a lively hope because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So we see the reality of our Lord's resurrection. Then in our text, we also see how dull the memory, I'll say the remembrance of the disciples were. They didn't remember the words that he had said. The text that I read, you said that after they saw that the tomb was empty, after these women had told them what the Lord was going to do, then they remembered. The angels came and reminded the women, and the women reminded the disciples of our Master's words in Galilee. He foretold of his own crucifixion. He foretold of the resurrection. And then they remembered his words, the Bible said. They had heard them, but they made no use of them. Now, after some time, they call them back to mind. Friend, I'm telling you, that is so common among believers. We have a dull memory. We've heard the truths of God's word, and yet we refuse or we fail to call them back to mind when they should be of use to us. Amen. Many times, even after people have been saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I'm talking about renewed by the Spirit of God, they readily forget the promises and the precepts of the gospel message, and it leads them into trouble. Amen. They hear these things that they ought to store it up in their heart, but they seem to forget it as fast as they hear it. How many sermons have we heard that we can't remember one word of that sermon? We can't recall one thing that was said in that, by the way, friend, was God speaking to us. That wasn't just a preacher preaching. That was God speaking to us. Words that ought to be held up in our heart, words that ought to be stored away in our heart that we can use and we can remember. Lord, help us not to have a dull memory. Amen. Lord, help us to fall in love with Jesus so deep and strong that those things would be brought back to our memory, that our hearts and minds would be knit to Christ, and we would not readily forget those things. Amen. Lord, help us to have our affections nailed to the cross, as the song says. Help us to remember the words of our Lord, as the scriptures show as we should. Amen. Here's what Hebrews chapter number 2 says. Listen to this. Chapter number 2, verse number 1 of Hebrews. He says, "We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Friend, there's no doubt the fact of our Lord's resurrection. And there's also no doubt the fact that we so soon forget the doctrines we've heard. I preached on yesterday's broadcast about remembering. Paul told Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Oh, how we need to remember that. Amen. And then lastly, we see how slow of belief the disciples were on this subject of our Lord's resurrection. I mean, just the fact that Jesus had told them should have been enough, but they didn't accept that. They didn't store that in their mind. And then the fact that when the women came and told them, they still didn't believe it. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says that when the women returned from the sepulcher, told these things that they had heard from the angels to the 11 apostles, here's what it says. Their words seemed to them idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, how often we hear it told. Maybe it's a grandmother that tells the story. Maybe it's a mother. Thank God for godly mothers and grandmothers that tell the story of the resurrection to their children and grandchildren. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's a preacher. Maybe it's a godly dad or granddad. But how often have we heard the words from somebody's lips about our wonderful Lord, and yet we're slow of belief? Slow of belief. Well, I'm telling you, these people, that's exactly where they were. That's exactly where they were. Let me give you one more thing, and then I'm closing. Let us admire the wisdom of God that can bring such great good out of what seems to be evil. The reason these apostles, and I'll call them believers, but they're in unbelief. The reason for that unbelief is the fact that these very same men had put so much stock and hope in the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. And they did not see the Messiah as one that would suffer, bleed, and die for sin. No, they saw the Messiah as one that would rule with a rod of iron, as one that would reign from the throne of David, as one that would expel the Romans and deliver Israel. But he came to expel sin and deliver believers. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to suffer, bleed, and die that sinners might be saved. And by the way, that's what the Old Testament had said that he would do. There is coming a day when he's going to rule the world with a rod of iron. There is coming a day when he's going to deliver even again that nation of Israel. Amen. There is coming a day when he's going to reign from the throne of David. But these men thought that should have been then, and they didn't see the cross. And so when the cross came, it upset their plans. They lost hope. They lost any confidence in Christ at that moment. But now, 3 days later, they hear that his body's gone, and they wonder where it must be. Now, think about this. These apostles, these disciples were even unbelievers now. And yet they hear this gospel message, they hear this truth that he's risen from the dead, and they're slow to believe it. But just the fact that they were so slow to believe it, and then the fact that they believed it so strongly after they became convinced of it, I'm telling you, that proves to me again that this is not some made-up tale of some religious scholar or some religious writer that thought, you know, it would just sound good to add this to his doctrines. Oh, no. These first preachers were men that were convinced in spite of themselves, in spite of a determined and obstinate unwillingness to believe. They at last believed and believed so strongly they were willing to preach it in even against the government and against those that would rail against them. They were willing to preach it in face of certain death, in face of their own persecution. They preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Simply, friend, I'm saying this, and I'm closing. Listen, Jesus rose from the dead. You can believe it. You can base your confidence, you can base your faith on the fact Jesus got up from the grave. You can believe that. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that if thou shalt believe with thine heart, that's the way he says it, believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Friend, have you ever been saved? Have you called on the Lord? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Would you do that today? Would you do that right now? And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Let me remind you to tune in and listen to our live Sunday morning Sunday school at 10:15 and preaching at 11:05 this coming Lord's Day. Hope you have a great weekend. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.